Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Now, for the next 3.5 hours, your regularly scheduled wagertainment, sports betting, knowledge and information and picks, you better you bet here on the BetQL Network. Again, Ken Barkley back tomorrow. Nick Kostos, Mark Melusis here on a wonderful Wednesday. About to bring you up to speed on all the notable line movement on Super Wild Card Weekend with this edition, Jake Hassan of It Moved. All right, Mark Melusis, we start our breakdown here, the line movement in Super Wild Card Weekend. In Cincinnati, the first game on Saturday, we will obviously go in chronological order here. The Bengals, 5.5-point favorites against the Raiders. Total in this game is 49. So when Ken and I did the show on Monday, this number was like in between 6, 6.5. I bet Vegas plus 6.5 on Monday. I think Ken did as well. I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to speak for him in case that is not the case. But I know both of us like the Raiders at those numbers. So this has now moved off 6 down to 5.5. And like we've talked about this multiple times on the show this year, that with the extra point being moved back, like 6 is one of the key numbers now. Not as key as 3 and 7, but it falls 6 more often than it used to. So this is a pretty big move off of 6 down to 5.5. So Moose, what do you think here of this game? Now, what did you think of it at the old number? What do you think of it now? Do you like a side in this game? Burrow and the Bengals laying 5.5 at home against Carr and the Raiders on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's interesting. At 6.5, and I did play it earlier in the week, I took the Raiders plus the 6.5. So, mind you, I thought it was too many points. I thought Vegas, with the way that they were playing and how they closed out the season, road win in Indianapolis, obviously the amazing game that we saw Sunday night against the Los Angeles Chargers, Nick, I thought there was value with Vegas on the road and Carr with the way he's playing, throwing the football in that defense. A Cincinnati team unproven, even though Burrow and Chase and had a great closeout to the regular season, unproven here in the postseason. I thought the Raiders at plus 6.5 was good value. At 5.5, I would not take the Raiders at plus 5.5. I would not. I think it's actually going to fall on that number of 6. So that's where I kind of like the 6.5. I would not play it at 5.5. I played it at 6.5. 5.5, I can understand the line moving the way it did, because I imagine a lot of people saw it the way that you and Ken looked at this game on Monday, the way that I looked at it when I was just kind of doing handicapping off the air. I thought there was good value with the Raiders at plus 6.5. I would not play it at 5.5.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I think you just, because like you lose nothing out there, right? And you, meaning the person listening or watching this, if you don't have a position on the game yet, shame on you, because we told you on Monday to take the Raiders. But if you don't have a position on the game yet, like, you lose nothing by waiting a little bit here. Like, what's the worst that happens?
Yeah.
It goes down to 5 and you bet 5. Like, 5's a dead number. Like, you literally lose nothing. So if you have, do not have a position on this game yet, I would wait. See if the 6 comes back. I would grab it immediately if the 6 appears. I like Raiders plus 6. I feel like that's a bet. And Ken and I will address this game later in the week. Like, if we get to Friday and it's like 5 and we don't think the 6 is coming back, we will give you kind of like tell you what to do there, like what we think is best if we know the number's never going back to 6. But for now, at 5.5, like, again, you lose nothing by waiting. So might as well wait to see if you get a 6. If you have to bet 5 or even 4.5, it is literally like not even close to the end of the world when we think about 5 being as dead a number as it is. So that's the current analysis here of the market, Raiders and Bengals. We'll obviously talk a lot more about this game over the course of the week, both side total and props, how we see it being played out on the field, the on-field handicap and Moose. Let's go to Saturday night. Bills Patriots, part 3 this season. That's 3 for those of us being French. Bills are a 4-point favorite here. Totals up to 44. Yeah. The weather in Western New York on Saturday night, as one might imagine in early January, is not going to be warm. 6 degrees, and maybe even like below 0 in terms of the wind chill here. but we're not expected to see a ton of wind here. So I feel like this is just going to be like a regular football game, except it's going to be played in like Antarctica or like Hoth, where the Empire Strikes Back took place. So Bills are a 4-point favorite here. Buffalo was a 3-point favorite Monday, December 6th when they played in that Winter Wonderland game. Total was 40. Then they met up again in Foxborough on Sunday, the 26th of December. Patriots closed a 1-point favorite, total 43.5. Now it's Bills minus 4, and the total is 44. Moose, what do you think about this market right now as we sit here on a wonderful Wednesday?
Yeah, whether it be sitting at 4 or 4.5, I like the Bills. I mean, I do. I kind of buy into what everybody else has bought into looking at this game. Number one is I think probably New England peaked a little bit too early before this postseason began. I'm not telling you that they can't win this game or put anything outside of the possibility. When you look at Bill Belichick, he is the best coach the National Football League has ever seen. However, you tell me wind's not going to be a factor. It's just going to be cold. I'll take Josh Allen. I'll take a Bills defense I think is better. I think a Bills team that kind of proved themselves with that victory up in Foxborough. And I like the Bills laying the 4 or 4.5 on Saturday night.
You know, I haven't bet this game yet. I feel like it's a pretty tough game, honestly. I think I would only bet the Patriots here.
Really?
I actually think I would only bet New England. I would like 4.5 so I could capture 4 potentially. I don't think I'm going to bet the Bills at this number. Like, Bills 3, I'm into Buffalo. I may just not bet the game. And like Ken and I talked about this on Monday, maybe putting Buffalo in like a money line parlay with Tampa or like Kansas City, potentially like that 3-way parlay. I like Dallas. We'll talk about that game coming up here. Love to get your thoughts on it. I actually think I would only bet New England in this game. I don't think I would bet Buffalo. That doesn't mean that I think you're wrong or that I think Buffalo can't win or cover.
Now, why would it? Can I ask you, well, but why? I mean, why would you never bet Buffalo in this matchup? Why would you never? You just think it's a field goal game?
I think it should be like, I think the number should be like 3.5, and it's not.
Okay.
And it's a little more than that. So, like, I do think the Bills should be favored. I do think they should be favored by more than a field goal. Once we get up to 4 or 4.5, I feel like I'd kind of like draw the line there. Like Buffalo 3, I'm in. 3.5, no. 4, no. 4.5, I'm actually in on New England. Like, that may sound nuts, but that's kind of how I see this playing out.
Would you ever bet New England money line?
No. Well, I mean, like, if I got like a ridiculous price on it, I would. But
the, no, I get that. I'm talking about if it's within range of a team at +4, +4.5.
Nah, I think Buffalo is very likely to win the game. We'll touch more on this game on the other side, and then we'll turn our attention to Sunday's game. Bucks and the Eagles, Chiefs and the Steelers, and the game of the weekend, Cowboys and the Niners from Dallas.
It's Nick Costos and Mark Melusis on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
20 minutes from now, Matt Moore joins us from the Action Network talking NBA. Can't wait for Matt Moore to join us. Brian Baldinger is going to join us also in hour number 2. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider hitting on every single game for Super Wild Card Weekend. James Mazzola also joins over the course of the program. Can't wait to talk to J-Mez, as well as our good friend Pete Prisco from CBS Sports. Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight. But for now, Moose, we continue with the line movement here for Super Wild Card Weekend. Maybe we'll get to Bills Patriots a little later in the show, but I want to move on to the Bucks-Eagles game coming up on Sunday afternoon, where Tampa right now at Bet Rivers is a 9-point favorite. It's basically like 8.75, like in between 8.5 and 9, but 9 is the number right now at Bet Rivers. Let's use that. We'll say Bucks minus 9. The total is down to 46, and the total's been dropping over the course of the last couple days here. It was even 47 earlier. Now it's down to 46. So your thoughts here, Tampa and Philly in the first game coming up on Sunday. We saw this game played, by the way, Thursday, October 22nd, Bucks won 28-22 in a game that, you know, Ken and I have talked about a lot. We both lost bets on the game at the very end. He laid it with the Bucks minus 6.5. They won by 6. I had the over. Tampa ran the clock out without kicking a field goal at the end, and the game went under. So that was a miserable affair. Hopefully we'll do better coming up on Sunday. Moose, what do you think, Bucks and Eagles?
Yeah, I remember they got that first down inside the 10-yard line, did the Buccaneers in that game, right? Am I crazy, Nick, to like the Eagles plus the 9?
No, I mean, I kind of do a little bit.
You know, I look at this game and, you know, if you can get a 9.5 now, I like it even more. And I know Tampa's getting 3 players back and they're getting healthier. And, you know, there's this obviously, you know, they're a national brand coming off winning the Super Bowl a year ago. I think Philadelphia can run it. I mean, you know, I saw Washington run. I saw some other teams run it on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And when the Philadelphia Eagles went away from trying to throw it every single down, Devontae Smith, obviously a stud, a rookie wide receiver out of Alabama, when they tried to, when they went away from, you know, trying to throw it all over the place and got back to, you know, running it, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles were really successful offensively. We know Jalen Hurts is better, obviously, you know, running it and than he is at being the inaccurate quarterback and thrower of the football that he is. I kind of like the Eagles plus the nine. I do. I think it's highly unlikely that they win the game, but I think it's highly likely that they keep it within that number. And I just don't look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, being that kind of a team coming into it. Remember last year they had to ramp up a little bit, struggled with Washington, you know, that first game, you know, and Taylor Heineke, and he played well in that game. I think the Eagles can keep it within that number of nine. I like it 9, 9.5. I already bet the Philadelphia Eagles earlier in the week. I take it now even more so, as we've seen a little bit of movement. But I think there are positive things to like about the Eagles going into this matchup against Tampa.
Rick Stroud covers the Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times, obviously one of the beat reporters there for the Bucs, tweeted out 4 hours ago as it concerns Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice today on Wednesday. Linebacker Lavonte David, pass rusher Shaq Barrett, running back Leonard Fournette, and Giovanni Bernard began their 21-day practice period and now can be activated anytime off injured reserve. Did not see Lavonte David or JPP at practice. Jamel Dean, Justin Watson did practice. Dean, obviously much more impactful, one of their lead cornerbacks here. Fournette, not really practicing, but tossing the football around before practice here. So it looks like this is going to be good news here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, getting some players back for this game that have been out the last couple of weeks, still without Chris Godwin, though. And as Bill Matz, our technical director, who does great work for WIP in Philadelphia as well, Eagles fan. Eagles didn't have Jordan Mailata at left tackle in that game, did not have Dallas Goedert in that game. The Eagles did not. I think I kind of like the Eagles as well, Moose. And Ken and I kind of sifted through it a little bit on Monday. And I think kind of the conclusion we came to is maybe the line goes up. Like maybe we get word tomorrow. All these guys are activated. Fournette in officially, Shaq Barrett in officially, JPP.
Could go up to 10 or 10.5.
Maybe it goes up to 10. So I think my strategy right now is to wait. A 10 on the Eagles is definitely going to be a bet for me. I also don't know, like, am I really not going to bet on these playoff games? Like, I'll have some kind of bet in this game. The other thing to consider here, and we talked about this on Monday, and like, I do have a bet placed on this game, not on the side or total, but a derivative here with a teaser with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is that we are now hovering out of the teaser zone, right? With Tampa a 9-point favorite right now at BetRivers. Now, maybe it drops back down to 8.5 at some point, but I'll say if it does, I would not wait. If you out there listening or watching, listening to this in podcast form after the show ends, if you like teasing Tampa down to 2.5, right, through 7 and 3, Tampa wins by 3, you win your teaser leg, maybe teasing with the Chiefs and getting Kansas City under 7 while you can now, down to -6.5. I don't think the Tampa end is something you want to wait for, because I think it's more likely than not that the number goes up a little bit than it comes down. So I don't know if you like Tampa and teaser legs, Moose, or you agree with that bit of analysis here, but
yeah,
that 8.5 comes back and you like teasing Tampa. Like, I would not wait any longer to do that. I think the time is of the essence to make that happen.
Yeah, listen, I like the Eagles plus the 9. I think it's highly unlikely they win the game outright down in Tampa, you know, early game on Sunday. But I do agree with your logic, Nick, and I think it's really sound. I think with the news of you know, Tampa getting 3 impactful players back, potentially for this matchup on Sunday against Philadelphia, even if they get 2, I think there'll be more confidence in Tampa, less confidence in Eagles, which would in Philadelphia, which would cause that line to tick up a little bit. So if you think, and I agree with you, I'd bet the Buccaneers and teaser like now. I mean, I'd not let it drift here, because the potential is, I think it's more potential for this line to drift up than for this line to drift down.
You bet BetQL Network. Nick Costos, Mark Melusis, in for Ken Barkley. Ken returns to the show tomorrow on a tremendous Thursday, taking you through the line movement, super wild card weekend in the National Football League. Moose, for people that are around our age, like, it literally, you're actually like a lot older than me. I don't even know if that's fair to say, like, around our age. Because that's true.
I'm 6 years older than you.
I know. By the way.
Yeah. Well, that is a big, I mean, 6 is 6, so there you go.
And by the way, your hair looks pretty good today. You've been growing it. Like, it looks good.
I have been growing it. I've been trying to, you know, the other day I was thinking about, I'm like, I wonder what Costos would think of my hair right now.
It's good.
But the last time I was on with you, you're like, what are you doing with your hair? Your hair looks awful. Like, what are you doing? I go, thanks, Nick. I appreciate that. So yeah, I've been growing it out a little bit more.
It looks good. I may buzz all mine off this week. We'll see what happens. I may show up to the show on Friday and have no hair. We'll see. Anyway, things that people actually care about. Let's talk about football. It doesn't get better if you're around our age than the Cowboys and the Niners and like younger fans. Like maybe you know the history a little bit, but these teams obviously warred in the early 80s and then in the 90s specifically, three straight NFC championship games where there were years where these were the two best teams in football. And when they played in the playoffs, that was the Super Bowl because no one in the AFC was beating the Cowboys with Aikman or the 49ers, of course, with Steve Young. This was past the point of Montana being there when they warred in the 90s. So we get the first playoff game between these two. Since the Niners beat the Cowboys in the 1995 title game 38-28 after jumping out to a 21-0 first quarter lead, this is me just showing off my knowledge, so we'll move on to the game. Cowboys, the number here is 3.5 right now at BetRivers, but this is really 3.25. It is very close to dropping back down to 3. The juice is heavily on San Francisco plus 3.5. So Moose, I think we should probably have this conversation as if the number's 3, but with an eye towards it maybe hitting 3.5. And I actually think that's likely as we approach Sunday that this number will go up a little bit. Now, Trent Williams, Niners left tackle, did not practice today. It is a big deal if he can't play in the game, maybe the best left tackle in football. Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan did say, though, that Williams is progressing well, and he's a lot better today than he was earlier in the week and on Sunday. So maybe we'll see Trent Williams play. I think he probably will. So let's call it 3 right now with an eye towards 3.5. What do you make here of Cowboys and 49ers total in this game sitting at 51, and that total has gone up even over the course of the day today?
Yeah, I like the Cowboys in the game. I mean, I do. And number one, it has nothing to do with Prescott getting hot and you know, torching up the second and third stringers for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I understand why there's going to be a lot of love on San Francisco. A number one, the way that they closed it out, you know, that they could be physical at the point of attack, offensive and defensive line, that they can run it. But I think it's a Dallas team that, you know, people, you know, I like the fact that you're seeing, you know, as this number, you know, open up at 3, sitting here at 3.5, or maybe, but we're going to go on the basis that it's sitting at a field goal. I think the Cowboys win this game anywhere from the 4 to 7 point range. I do. I don't like San Francisco. I don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo in a big time spot. You know, what he did against the Rams is one thing. Now you're looking at it on the road in Dallas against the Cowboys, you know, 100,000 plus. I think Prescott and the Cowboys take out some of their frustrations on the San Francisco 49ers, win this game. I'd lay the field goal with the Cowboys.
Just curious, Moose, because you deal with a lot of people, both in the media and I'm sure like in your friend group, like people that love football, that bet on football, talk to people about games. Is it your sense that the people you talk to mostly like the 49ers?
All love
because
them.
I feel like not everybody, and I feel like Ken kind of likes the Cowboys a little bit in the game as well. I don't want to speak for him. We'll go over it obviously tomorrow. Friday, and then of course Saturday and Sunday because the shows that never end. But I feel like most people like the Niners in this game. Is that an experience that you have shared, like anecdotally at least?
Yes. I think a lot of I've them, you know, with that number.
And can you say like that? That doesn't mean just because people like the Niners that like the Cowboys are going to win. I'm just saying that like it feels like a lot of people.
But I think there's a lot more people that I know in that like San Francisco plus the 3.5. Or plus the 3, then they do like the Cowboys. Don't trust the Cowboys in a big-time spot. Don't trust Dak Prescott. Don't trust all these things. Look at what the 49ers can do. Secondary, obviously, has gotten healthier. The last couple of weeks, guys either returning from COVID or returning from IR. So all of those things, I think there's a distrust in Dallas. I know a lot of people like San Francisco in this matchup.
Yeah, maybe I'll be proven incorrect here, which, you know, happens a lot. By the way, George and the under was great on Monday night. I haven't been on since then, but that was really awesome. So that was really good. Anyway, as far as this game goes, the Raiders plus 6.5, plus 6, my favorite bet of the week. No question. Like, that's the one that I felt when I looked at all the spreads on Sunday night, the one that stood out to me immediately. Talked about it on the show on Monday with Ken. I would say my second favorite bet of the entire weekend is Cowboys minus 3 against the 49ers. I think it should be 4. I think the number should be 4. And that's a big move from 3 to 4. And I think Dallas is the better quarterback in the game. Dallas's defense is better than the 49ers defense. I like Dallas a lot, Moose. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm with you, man. I really like the Cowboys on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's not saying that it's an impossibility that San Francisco can't win, of course. I mean, there is, but I'm with you, Nick. I think the Cowboys' defense is better. I do trust Prescott more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the Cowboys defensive line isn't going to get pushed around. I think the Trent Williams news is huge news because Trent Williams grayed out is arguably the best left tackle in the National Football League this year when you look at it. And if he's hindered in any sort of way or can't go in this game, that is a huge loss for the 49ers. We'll see as this week goes along, as we're only sitting here on Wednesday, but yeah, I love the Cowboys. Although the games that we've talked about so far, I think I probably like Dallas more than I like Philadelphia, more than I like Buffalo more. And obviously I played the Raiders earlier in the week. Cowboys will probably be my number one play of the weekend. I think they're going to give you a good performance.
Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up next. And we started with Matt Moore from the Action Network.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right. In the time we have remaining in this hour here, we'll carry it over to the next hour. I promise we'll finish the line movement here for Super Wild Card Weekend. Your thoughts, Mark Melusis, on Sunday Night Football with the Chiefs and the Steelers. And the line is pretty much held steady from where we talked about it on Monday. KC laying 12.5, total 46.5.
Yeah, I like the Steelers plus the points. And I was on Kansas City the last time laying it when they were home against the Steelers. I didn't think that game would look like 30-0, as Baldinger mentioned joining us earlier on. I think it'll look a lot different. It's not buying into the narrative of Roethlisberger and the Steelers. It's just a case of, do I really think Kansas City is going to be now 12.5? I think Pittsburgh can play within the number. I think there are things that the Pittsburgh Steelers can do with Najee Harris running the football. I like the Steelers plus the 12.5.
I am not going to bet 12.5. I'm going to see if I can get 13. But like I've been saying, a bunch of radio, I was on Daily Tip this morning too. I'm going to bet Pittsburgh at plus 13 if it gets there. And honestly, if it doesn't get there, like I think I'll maybe like just tease Kansas City. But I actually think, and I'll talk about this with Ken tomorrow, because on Monday, we're both like, yeah, like maybe we should bet Pittsburgh, but maybe we don't want to. I think I want to. Like, I think I want to bet the Steelers. Kansas City this year has had these, and they haven't done it in a while. Actually, they almost lost to the Broncos on Saturday. They have these weird games where they can like turn the football over. Mahomes has done it a bunch this season, and we've seen crazier things happen than the Steelers being able to keep this game close. What could be Ben Roethlisberger's final game? I think he comes. I don't think this is like Marino against the Jaguars in 98, 62-7. Could be wrong. We'll find out. So we'll get back to this game coming up next hour, and we'll talk about it and more to start hour number three with Pete Prisco from CBS Sports with Nick and Moose.
It's Nick Costos and Mark Melusis on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Wonderful Wednesday edition of the show rolls on here with Costos and Moose. Ken Barkley returns on a tremendous Thursday. Power Hour coming up 40 minutes from now. All our bets for tonight. James Mazzola from the For Profit Podcast 20 minutes from now. Golf bets coming up for the weekend. The Sony Open in Hawaii. Not a bad gig being a professional golfer. Let's wrap up the line movement here. It's like normally it move takes us 40 minutes. For some reason today, it's taken us 2 hours. But we will wrap it up.
Wait, before we get to the Cardinal game, like because you've mentioned that a couple times about golfers in Hawaii. Hawaii is unbelievable to go visit if you've never been. Just a great spot. But do you ever think like you wish you committed yourself to playing golf like when you were young? Like just like go all in and maybe try. Like they've got an unbelievable life. They travel the world.
But is it unbelievable? Like, I'm the type of personality where I feel like it would drive me insane. Like, I'll give you an example. You ever watch Ryan Seacrest like, and I'm only saying this because my girlfriend watches Channel 7, like, all day, every day, local ABC, Channel 7 in New York. And, like, Regis, not Regis, rest in peace, Regis. I always think Regis because he was who was on when I was growing up. But so it's Kelly and Ryan, Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest. So Seacrest is on that show, so I see him on TV. He does radio. He also does, like, all the TV specials and American Idol. I feel like he's got to be miserable. Like, his life has got to, like, I'm sure he's making millions of dollars and he's all over the place. He probably has no time for himself. Like, I feel like if you're a pro golfer, yeah, like, you're golfing every day and that sounds great, but golf is maddening for someone that just started when, like, you miss a shot. If you're a pro and you have a bad day, like, that probably, like, ruins you for weeks. I don't know if I would want to do that, live that lifestyle, even for the money.
Well, well, but you're talking about two different things. Like, Seacrest is obviously a workaholic, right? Like, there's no need, like, at this stage of his career, there's no need that Ryan Seacrest needs to do local radio in L.A. to talk to the Kardashians. I mean, it really doesn't. Or do America's Top 40 or whatever else the hell he's doing on radio. Like, he's on TV every single day. You know, you mentioned on ABC. Isn't he still doing American Idol? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
he's still doing American Idol.
And he was on like New Year's Eve. He was on.
Yeah, he's doing Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
But earlier that morning, he was on like Kelly. And I'm just saying, like, and I said to like my girlfriend and her family, like, this guy probably hates his life. Like, it probably looks like on television that this is like, what a happy guy, like, what a great life. Yeah. He's on TV, he's on the radio, he's doing, maybe I'm wrong about this. I just know because like, this is like what we do for a living. Like, if you're doing all that work, like, you cannot be like, your life has to suck. Like, in your private moments, you have to be like, my life sucks. Like, I work too much and it's a problem.
Like, yeah, you have to be like, I need to come up for a little air. I don't disagree. Now, maybe I should have couched it. I should have said like a great golfer. Like, think about like the life of like a great golfer. Like, if you're Jon Rahm right now, like if you're one of these,
like, how many of these guys are there? Like, if you told me like, yes,
no,
you could be Tiger
I understand
Woods, like,
that.
Sure.
I'm not talking about somebody that's like kicking, you know, that's knocking around trying to make it to the PGA Tour. I'm talking about a guy that like you've established yourself. You've won a couple tournaments. Dude, you don't even have to win in golf in order to make a great living being a professional
golfer.
But
that's not the point, though. Isn't the point, though, like, for me, I don't see what the point is of doing something if I'm not trying to win. Like, I don't...
Well, it's not a matter of the fact that you're not trying to win. Of course, we want to be great at anything we do, but my point is, like, even if you finish in third or fourth, you're still making staggering amounts of money.
You're playing in beautiful spots
all over the world.
I'm telling you that I would be miserable if I never won. I would want to do something else. I'm being serious. Like, there are things in life that I won't do. Like, if I try something and I'm not good at it, I stop doing it immediately. People are like, oh, well, why? Because I'm not going to win. Like, I like things that I can. I want to win. I want to win. I don't want to not win. If I can't win at something, I don't want to do it. I feel like being a pro golfer would drive me insane if I couldn't win at least some of the. Imagine, like, you never win. Like, what's the point? Like, what's the point?
I guess, imagine, like, you knocked around on the PGA Tour for 25 years and you never won a tournament.
Like, it'd be like life. I'm sure that, like, yeah, like, you made a lot of money and, like, you probably have a comfortable life. But I don't know. Like, this is just the way I'm wired. I would be miserable.
I think they've got an amazing life. Like, how great would it be to be out in Wailea Country Club getting ready for the Sony Open? Like, just fantastic.
Yeah, I guess so, right? But then, like, you get your ass kicked and you come in 58th and it's like... Dude, I want to step in front of a truck when I have a bad show. Like, imagine, like, you have a bad golf tournament. But I mean, like, I feel like I'm a different breed, though, and I don't mean that in a good way. I just feel like I'm nuts.
No,
so, like,
I understand. I'm looking at the fact of I think we'd win. Like, sometimes I think about, like, and I played golf when I was young, but I never really, like, commit. Like, I wasn't a great golfer by any stretch, but, like, I didn't really commit to it either. Like, I'd play around here or there and have some fun with it and everything. But, like, to be, like, fully invested, like, to be fully invested in it, like, it's and then turn out to be a pro golfer and you're traveling the world and you're playing internationally over in Europe. And
are your boys invested in hockey, like, fully invested?
Yes. Nick, Saturday. Can I just tell you a little something about Saturday?
But do they and like do you like have dreams of them being like pro hockey players? Like, is that like something?
I think that's like a long shot. My goal is would be if they could get like a high school scholarship to a really good high school. You know what I mean?
Not even college, just high school.
Well, no, and then see what happens. Then maybe potentially in college, like. Dude, you know how good you have to be like a professional hockey player. But this is where it is. Yeah, we're fully invested in it as a family. Saturday afternoon, I'm going to be in beautiful Newburgh, New York from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4:30. Till 4:30 in the afternoon, watching hockey all day as my son Jackson's playing in a hockey tournament. That is my Saturday. That is what's going to go on Saturday. My wife asked me last night, do you want to go? I'm like, what's my other choice? Stay home with the other two and I'll go to the hockey tournament.
I understand. So Moose will be hopefully you'll have some bets to be able to like check on your phone and be sweating the games on Super Wild Card weekend on Saturday with the two games. All right, so there you have it. So it's, I would hate my life. I feel like if that were me, because like money's great, but if I can't like do like if I can't win, it'd be like it's just like, you know, I would if I were a pro golfer, I want to like smash like the golf club against my head. I would be like the hothead on the tour. That would be me. Like playing tennis, I would be like Nick Kyrgios. That would be me. Like going screaming at the line.
I could see that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I could definitely see that. Costos throwing his club into the lake.
And then like I have to go to therapy for stuff like that. Like it's just, you know, I just can't.
There'd be hot takes. Why is Nick Costos wrong for the PGA tour?
And I would probably go to therapy and try and make it better. Or I can just like save myself the trouble and go to therapy now. You better, you bet, yeah. BetQL Network. Nick and Moose here on a wonderful Wednesday. All right, Moose, let's talk about the final game on Super Wild Card Weekend. The Rams and the Cardinals on Monday night, and get your take on the game. I said on the show on Monday that I like the Cardinals plus 4.5, and Ken Barkley, in what is becoming a famous comment on You Better, You Bet, said he thought I was on, quote, the dead wrong side of the game. I think he likes the Rams. You think? Rams minus 4. I don't think he like loves the Rams. I just think he would never bet Arizona. The Rams are 4-point favorites, so the numbers moved a little bit, half point towards Arizona. Total is 49.5. Do you have a bet or a thought here with the Cardinals and Rams on Monday night?
I think it's too many points to be given Arizona. Nick, you and I did shows with you. I did shows with Ken before the start of the NFL season, and I bet the Los Angeles Rams before the start of the year to win a Super Bowl. You know, that's before the Woods injury and obviously, you know, before picking up Odell Beckham Jr. I thought I was goo-goo all over and loved the addition of Matthew Stafford. Hasn't played well, really. Has not played well in a while here. You know, since that report came out about the back injury that he's been dealing with for the last 2 years and basically being held together by duct tape. With that being said, I think this is a field goal game. I mean, you're going to give me, you know, even though I know you don't love Kingsbury, you love Kyler Murray. The running backs, if they're both able to acquit themselves, getting J.J. Watt. I just look at Arizona getting 4 against an unproven commodity, and I know Murray's not but an unproven playoff commodity in Matthew Stafford. I'll take the 4 with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm going to as well. I bet 4.5. I'm going to end up betting on Arizona in this game. I think it's such an interesting betting market. And I talked about this on the Daily Tip earlier this morning on the BetQL Network and then some other radio spots that I did. It's almost like which side of the coin do you kind of fall on, right? When it comes to breaking down this game, besides for an on-field handicap here, Len, I'll ask you this question. Like, what do you think the difference is between Dallas and the Rams? Like if Dallas and the Rams met this weekend on a neutral field, what would you set the line at? Who would you have favored? What would you have the line at?
I would have the Cowboys as a 2.5-point favorite.
All right. So you would have Dallas minus 2.5. So on what the Cowboys played the Cardinals, obviously, a couple weeks ago in Dallas. Dallas closed a 6.5-point favorite in that game. So I guess by your estimation that the number's kind of right here, right? So if we take the 2.5 away, then Dallas minus 4 against, Rams minus 4 against Arizona seems to make some sense. I think Dallas would be favored in the game. I think it may be a little, or like, probably right around where you're saying, like Dallas minus 2, Dallas minus 2.5. So that's one way to think about it. Then we can go to the Monday night game that these two teams played about 5-6 weeks ago. Arizona closed a 3-point favorite in that game. The Rams won 30-23. For people that don't remember, this is the game where Brian Greasy was like begging, basically, the Cardinals to kick a field goal at the very end. So it was like absolutely, just like absolutely ridiculous. So Arizona closed a 3-point favorite in that game. But if we remember, Jalen Ramsey was ruled out with COVID and Tyler Higbee as well, like 90 minutes before kickoff. And the line ended up spiking up towards Cardinals -3. So let's just say the true number in that game was Arizona -2, right? So Arizona 2 points better on a neutral at that point. So like, has the rating changed that? Because for me, the rating for the Rams doesn't change at all, really. I think they're basically the same team. Maybe we could make a case they're a little worse with the way Stafford's looked at points here. That Arizona, and I get it, right? They lost on the road at Detroit. They lost to Indianapolis in a game they should have won on Christmas night. They lost against the Seahawks last weekend in a game. Like, they win that game, they win the NFC West. Like, it's bad. I get it. Are we really being led to believe that there's this big of a difference now in the Cardinals than there was like 6 weeks ago? Maybe. I think the answer to that question is no. That's kind of the side of the coin that I fall on here, is that I think this number should be closer to 3. I also think that you have 2, and I don't know if there's like a good word to use that on terrestrial, because all the good words are for like we get us fined or get me fired. But how about wusses with a W? Two wussy head coaches in Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay, who are both dying to make conservative decisions, dying to punt, dying to kick field goals on like 4th and goal from the 2, just dying to do it. I feel like that has to benefit the underdog if you're going to have 2 super conservative head coaches. So the way that I kind of fall on, the side I fall on in terms of like the numbers here, for me, lines up with Arizona. I think the way that both of these coaches coach and make in-game decisions for me also favors Arizona. And like intuitively, I think the number should be 3. So I'm going to take these points with Arizona, and I'm going to feel pretty good about it heading into Monday night.
Yeah, you know, and I'm with you. And maybe Ken ends up being right, and that we're both on the dead wrong side of things as we're watching this game unfold. The other thing, like, I mean, the way Stafford looked, I'm going to take Stafford right now and trust that he's not all of a sudden become the turnover prone quarterback that we've seen here for the last month of the NFL regular season in a playoff game at home. We've seen Arizona respond as they did down in Dallas against the Cowboys. And I know Kyler Murray's undefeated at AT&T Stadium. I get that. But, you know, it's an Arizona team and Murray that, you know, it's a Los Angeles team that at times this year has looked soft. An unproven commodity. McVay in big time spots, as you mentioned, gets very, very tight. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Kingsbury is all of a sudden Newt Rockne. He's not. But if you're going to give me the Cardinals and you're going to give me 4, 4.5 points to think that this is not a field goal game, and I agree with you. I don't think there's this great separation now between these two teams as compared to what we saw, you know, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago on a Monday night.
Yeah, I'm kind of down on both these teams in general. Like, even if both teams win, I think it's likely that Tampa's going to win. I think it's likely that Tampa's going to win. I think it's probable that one of these two teams is going to have to go to Lambeau.
That's it.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's it. It comes to an end.
Depending on what happens in Dallas and San Francisco, obviously. But I like Dallas to win the game. So if Dallas wins, you know, I guess we'll kind of see. But I think it's likely, right? Dallas. Well, if Dallas and Tampa both win, then it's guaranteed that the winner of this game goes to Green Bay. Season over for both the Rams or the Cardinals in that event.
Right. And then let's throw the other factor in when you look at it in terms of how invested the Los Angeles Rams are in on this season. And if this game should be tight, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter, how tight McVay is then going to be as a head coach with some of his play calls, especially if Stafford gets off to a poor start throwing the football and if he ends up throwing picks here or there. So all those things factor into me where I look at the Arizona Cardinals. I think Arizona can play the, you know, us against the world mentality. This is a Cardinal team that had a very good regular season. I understand better first half than they were the second half. You're giving me Kyler Murray 4.5, 4 on the road against Stafford and the Rams. I'm going to take the Cards.
I do think Cliff is kind of brain dead, though. So I don't know if he's going to be like us against the world. Can even like, I don't even know if like he would even think to say that. Maybe.
Probably not. Yeah, you're maybe. Right. I mean, when has the world ever been against Cliff Kingsbury? He's too good looking.
Yeah. I mean, he is, right?
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. Yes.
Like, imagine being like Cliff Kingsbury or Jimmy Garoppolo and just like knowing that every room you walk into, like you are the best looking guy in that room, like period. Probably the best looking person in the room altogether, depending on the room. Can't say that's ever been the case with me.
Not with me. Garoppolo, I think, is more handsome than Kingsbury.
Well, yeah, Garoppolo's like yeah. Now the
Garoppolo's like got movie star looks. Like Garoppolo could be on the big screen.
It just is what it is. Hopefully he'll be off the big screen and they'll lose to Dallas on Sunday because I'm going to bet the Cowboys here. Quick break, and on the other side, we're going to get some golf bets courtesy of the master himself. James Mazzola from the For Profit Podcast joins Nick and Moose on You Better You Bet.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.